There's one very clear distinction Skip Heitzig says we need to make about the Holy Spirit. He's a he, not an it.
Now, last time I checked, personal pronouns are used for people, not forces, right? Imagine how weird it would sound if I say, boy, the wind is blowing today, and the wind, he is strong. Boy, I need air in my tires, and the air, he helps my car. There is not one single reliable version of the Holy Scriptures where the Holy Spirit is referred to as an it.
Make the connection at the foot of the cross. Study the Word of God and find the way into His love. And take the time to read, for Jesus took the time.
One of the taglines for the 1984 blockbuster film Ghostbusters was, "I ain't afraid of no ghost." Ironically, despite not even falling into the same category of ghostly phenomenon, many people, Christians even, seem to be quite afraid of the Holy Ghost. They find his influence to be a little too weird or too charismatic to be a part of their daily lives. Yet the Bible clearly tells us that without the Holy Ghost, we can't successfully live our lives as Christians. We'll try to dispel these myths and rumors and get to the facts of who the Holy Ghost is and the role he's to play in our lives today here on The Connection. But before we get to Skip Heitzig's teaching on this matter, how would you like to visit the Holy Land this summer? And best of all, you won't even need a passport. Here's how.
Israel. It's the land where the greatest stories ever told actually took place. It's the land where God revealed Himself to humanity, where redemption was unveiled on a cross, and where the future of the world will culminate in conflict and judgment. Now you can bring it all to life with the DVD, Israel, Learning from the Land. Journey with Skip Heitzig through the entire land of Israel and watch how the Bible comes alive. Great historical and archaeological insights about the land of Israel, plus footage from Skip's teaching tours of the Holy Land. Call 1-800-922-1888 or order online at connectionradio.org for the Israel Learning from the Land DVD. Available this month for just $20. Bring your summer devotional time in the Bible to life like never before. Call 1-800-922-1888 or visit connectionradio.org.
And that's just one of many resources we have available for you right now at connectionradio.org. You know, the more we learn and understand about Him, the more we'll be able to say, we ain't afraid of no Holy Ghost. In fact, we'll come to see His presence and influence in our life can be a very exciting and very powerful experience. Stay tuned for more here on The Connection.
And make the connection.
We'll continue today in John chapter 14 through 16. So find that spot in your Bibles and let's join Skip Heitzig as he continues today's teaching.
I'd like to give you a biblical example, a good contrast. You can just put this in your notes or tuck it into mine and look later on. A story in Acts chapter 8 versus a story in Acts chapter 13. In Acts chapter 8, the disciples are preaching the gospel in Samaria. There's a guy named Simon, who it says believed to some degree, but he saw Peter and John working miracles by the power of the Holy Spirit, and he offered them money and said, hey, let me write you a check, or let me give you cash, or do you take credit cards, anything, but give me this power so that whoever I lay my hands on, they can receive this Holy Spirit too. Compare that to Acts chapter 13, where it says, the Holy Spirit said, separate unto me Paul and Barnabas for the ministry whereunto I have called them. See, in the first example, you have a guy trying to get a hold of and use God. In the second instance, you have God trying to get a hold of and use men. Huge difference. What's the difference? Again, results. God will never be used. But God will, if you allow him, use you. So those are the problems with it. Look at the pronouns. We read through it, but look back in chapter 14, verse 26. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he, mark that, will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I have said to you. Look at chapter 15, verse 7. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. That's not what I wanted. Look at verse 26, excuse me. Comes with age, you know. They're calling them senior moments now. I think I had one. When the Helper comes, verse 26, chapter 15, whom I send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me. And you will also bear witness because you have been with me from the beginning. Look down at verse 12. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. However, when he, pronoun, personal pronoun, the Spirit of truth has come, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he speaks, and he will tell you of things to come. He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All told, in this section of 14, 15, and 16, there's 13 personal pronouns Jesus uses when he refers to the Holy Spirit. Now, last time I checked, personal pronouns are used for people, not forces, right? Imagine how weird it would sound if I say, boy, the wind is blowing today, and the wind, he is strong. Boy, I need air in my tires, and the air, he helps my car. There is not one single reliable version of the Holy Scriptures where the Holy Spirit is referred to as an it. Every reliable scholarly work is the same thing. He, him, whom, personal pronouns. Also, there's an issue of personality. Did you catch the names Jesus gives to the Holy Spirit? The Helper or the Comforter, some translations say. The Counselor. Does that sound like a power to you? Chapter 14, verse 26, he will teach. Chapter 15, verse 26, he will testify or speak. Chapter 16, verse 8, he will convict or convince, some translations say. Verse 13 of chapter 16, he will guide, he will speak, he will tell. And verse 15, he will take and declare. I looked up the word just for kicks in Noah's dictionary, Noah Webster. I looked up the word person, and Noah Webster said, or Webster's dictionary, said, we apply the word to living beings only, possessed with a rational nature. In other words, to be a person, you need intelligence or a mind, you need feelings or emotion, and you need a will. And all those three aspects of personality the Holy Spirit exhibits. He exhibits intelligence. Chapter 15, verse 26, the Holy Spirit will teach you. Don't you have to know something before you can teach something? Then that would be intelligence. Then he has will. In 1 Corinthians 12, Paul says of spiritual gifts, the Holy Spirit gives spiritual gifts individually as he wills. Or how about this one? Remember in Acts 16, Paul is trying to travel, and it says he tried to go to Asia, but the Holy Spirit what? Forbade him or did not allow him. The Holy Spirit forbade him from going. So he went to Mysia, tried to go to Bithynia, but again, the Holy Spirit didn't permit him. So, the Holy Spirit has a will, because you can't forbid or permit anything unless you have a will. So he has a mind, he has a will, and he has emotion. Think about that. We rarely do. The Holy Spirit of God has emotion. Ephesians 4, don't grieve the Holy Spirit of God. Can you grieve an it? No, you can only grieve a him or a her, a person. Wouldn't it sound weird if I said, boy, I grieve my plant today. I mean, I really angered my plant. He is so vexed. It is so grieved. You know, I was telling it should change, turn over a new leaf. It didn't like that. It's grieved. Romans talks about the love of the Spirit. Only a person can love. A plant can't love you. Electricity can't love you. A force can't love you. So, since the Holy Spirit is a person, listen carefully, any personal relationship at all that we have with God must include the Holy Spirit. You don't have personal relationships with electricity or plants. So that's the first question. Power or person? Answer, person. Second question, dignitary or deity? Is the Holy Spirit just some important being, like an angelic being, or is the Holy Spirit God? Now, nothing will heighten your respect for the Holy Spirit than to realize He is God Almighty. Look at chapter 16 for just a moment. Back to verse 12. I have still many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. However, when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you into all truth. For the Holy Spirit to be able to guide you into all the truth, He has to be aware of all the truth. To be aware of all the truth means that He is omniscient. He knows everything. He knows everything. That's a description of God. Then, if you look, and you don't have to, you can write it down, Psalm 139. Psalm 139, He's omnipresent. David said, where can I flee from your spirit? Where can I go from your presence? And he says, I can go anywhere, you're there. So the Holy Spirit is omniscient, He's omnipresent. We know He was there at creation, Genesis 1-2, hovering over the waters. Job, in Job 33, said, the Spirit of God has made me. So the qualifications of His character show that He is God. Second, the validation by Christ Himself. Go back to chapter 14, verse 16. It's a word you can't escape. You can't miss this. And I will pray the Father, and He will give you a helper. No, notice, another helper, that He may abide with you forever. It's a key word, another. In the Greek language, there are two words for the English word another. Unfortunately, we have one. They have two. One word is allos. The other word is heteros. Allos means another of exactly the same sort. Heteros means another that's completely different. Example, let's say I have a CD and you really like it. And you go, boy, I really like it. Well, that's neat. No, I really like it. Okay, you can have it because I'll go get another. I would use the word allos. I'll go out and buy one just like it to replace it. But let's say you took it home and it was all beat up and scratched and skipped. You said, hey, thanks for the CD, but it's really lousy. I'd say, oh, well, don't worry, I'll go get another. Will I get another just like it? No, I'll get one that's not scratched. Or you might say, I don't like this music. Don't worry about it. I'll get you a heteros, a different group, one unlike the first. The word that Jesus used for another counselor is the word allos, one exactly like I have been to you. Jesus was the helper, the comforter, the counselor, the friend. He was the miracle worker. He was God in human flesh. But He was going. He was leaving. And He said, I am going to send you a comforter, one just like me, one who is divine, one who can help, one who can do and be all that I have done and been to you. And allos, another comforter, another divine being. Now the early church understood that. Peter was there listening. And we have not only the qualification by character, we have not only the validation by Christ, we have the designation by Christians of the early church. I want you to turn to Acts 5, and we'll bring this to a close. Acts chapter 5. You say, I already know this stuff. Tough. Look at it again. Somebody else needs to. You can share it with them, maybe. But a certain man named Ananias, with Sapphira, his wife, sold a possession, and he kept back part of the proceeds, his wife also being aware of it, and brought a certain part of it and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit? If you have a pencil, it'd be good for you to just circle those words, Holy Spirit, and keep back part of the price of the land for yourself. While it remained, was it not your own? After it was sold, was it not in your own control? Why have you conceived this thing in your heart? You have not lied to men, but to God. You may want to circle God and connect the Holy Spirit and God, because that's what he's saying. It's appositional. That is, this refers to that. The Holy Spirit is God, he is saying. You say, well, that was just Peter. No, that was just Paul, too. And I'll give you a quick example. I'm not going to have you turn to it. Just remember it. You know Isaiah chapter 6, most of you, where it says, the Lord said, whom shall I send and who will go for us? And Isaiah said, here I am, Lord, send me. And so it says, the Lord said, God said, go and say this message. Well, when Paul quotes that in Acts 28, it's the end of the book, he said, the Holy Spirit was right when he said, and he quotes Isaiah 6, go and speak these words to the people. So what Isaiah said was God speaking. Paul the Apostle says it was the Holy Spirit speaking. What does that mean? The Holy Spirit is not only a person, not a power, but deity, not a dignitary. That's the conclusion of all this. The Holy Spirit, along with the Father and the Son, is God Almighty in the Trinity. And we'll study that at another time in the next few weeks. Just a whole study on the Trinity. Now, does all this really, honestly, truly matter? Does it matter that he is a person and that he is a divine person? Well, Jeremy Taylor put it this way. It's impossible for that man to despair who remembers that his helper is omnipotent. Isn't that good? It's impossible for the one to despair whose helper is omnipotent. It does matter a lot. You see, if you don't grasp who he is, you'll never appreciate what he does. If you don't understand his person and personality, you'll never appreciate all the activities of the Holy Spirit. And just look at those churches and movements who have denied the personhood and deity of the Holy Spirit. Look at them. The Unitarian Church, Christian Science, the Jehovah Witnesses, Islam, liberal Protestantism. You want to end up like that? Also, think of it. If you are not aware that the third person of the Godhead, yes, invisible, but personal and powerful, is living inside of you, it's going to show. It'll show. You'll be like so many that Paul described to Timothy who have a form of godliness, but they deny the power thereof. And you know what will happen? You'll lose interest in spiritual things, spiritual disciplines, prayer, worship. You'll lose your appetite for the Word of God. You'll lose your interest in church and the solutions that can be found within the body of Christ. You'll lose your appetite for God-centered preaching. You'll demand fluff in its place. That's what'll happen. You'll replace biblical instruction with human counsel, psychotherapy, because they have all the answers. We have nothing. That's what'll happen. You'll start replacing a reliance upon God in prayer for a reliance upon people's advice. That's what will happen. You'll become a little godder versus a big godder, if you remember that study. A.C. Dixon wrote, "When you rely on organization, we get what organization can do. When we rely on education, we get what education can do. When we rely on eloquence, we get what eloquence can do. But when we rely on the Holy Spirit, we get what God can do." Wouldn't you agree that's a big difference? Isn't it time to just rely on God, the maker of heaven and earth, the Almighty? He is not impotent. He is all-powerful. And the Holy Spirit is ready to get a hold of you and use you. That's what Jesus was telling these guys on that night. "Hey, I'm leaving, but good news, great news, great news. Somebody's coming. He's going to teach you. He'll reveal to you. He'll impart to you. He'll be everything that I am and was to you." A lot of cities, their electrical sources come from the flow of water at a dam. And hundreds of thousands of volts of electricity. The source funnels the power out toward different cities. And the cable usually has words on it like danger, high voltage, stay away, those kind of things. You wouldn't want to touch 100,000 volts of electricity. You wouldn't want to hook it directly to your house unless you want to watch it burn up instantly. So engineers have developed transformers to take the voltage and step it down to useful increments. And so if you step it down from hundreds of thousands of volts via transformers to 110, it works. The house works. The lights work. Everything works. It's great. I have a computer that I like to travel with, and I always have to take the transformer to step it down to 19.6 volts. It'll take anything from 220 to 110 and in between fluctuating and feed it that 19.6 volts. Otherwise, it'll burn up. Last summer, I had a razor that I took to Italy. The shaver just burned up. Didn't have the right transformer. The Holy Spirit is the transformer, taking the truth of God, the mighty power and truth, life-changing ability of God, that mighty power, and gives it to us in increments we can handle, in ways that'll change us, one step at a time, one day at a time. One woman will hear something or feel something or experience something, one man something else, and there'll be those changes. And sometimes it will be dramatic, and other times it will be invisible at first, but then grow. And if we're used to, "I didn't see a huge explosion tonight, but God spoke inwardly to my heart," for you to not think that the Holy Spirit is detrimental. Paul put it this way in 2 Corinthians 3, "But we all are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory by the Spirit of the Lord."
You know, the Holy Spirit plays such a crucial role in the life of a believer. It's a shame that so many are afraid of Him. True, there's a lot about Him that we probably will never fully understand, but there's plenty revealed about Him in the Bible that shows just what a wonderful help and companion He is for every Christian. Now, we're going to have to bring today's study to a close, but first, you can help introduce even more people all over the world to the Holy Spirit when you join the Global Connectors. You won't have to actually go anywhere, but you can still be involved with global evangelism through your monthly support of this ministry. You make it possible for this program to be heard in countries from Macedonia to Mongolia, and with your help, we'll soon be in even more countries around the globe. It doesn't take much, but it can have an eternal impact. So find out more about the Global Connectors today when you call 1-800-922-1888 or when you visit connectionradio.org. And that's also how you can get in touch with us for a copy of today's teaching. It's available on CD for just $6, which includes shipping and handling. Plus, anything you share above that suggested donation will help us continue these daily broadcasts. Find out more when you call 1-800-922-1888. or when you visit connectionradio.org. And thank you for your support of The Connection.
And make the connection at the foot of the cross. And study the Word of God and find a way into His love. Make the connection.
We've learned a little bit about who He is. Next time, we'll take a look at what the Holy Spirit does. The Connection is a presentation of Connection Communications, connecting you to God's never-changing truth in ever-changing times.